Great joy. What a joy to be here this morning. Wow, it's great. Pastor Matt Garrett's going to come up and share an introduction. Before he comes, I just wanted to give a shout out to a couple people. One of them, Jason Moore. Pastor Jason just works a lot. You know, how about it? Has anybody gotten a phone call from Pastor Jason? A visit. He's got a team of great people. Pastor Tom Sidoni, Pastor Love, and there's Sirpa right here. Just a great team, Carrie Roberge, and I'm just thankful. I mean, it's amazing. I see Roger Robbins here, Jr., from Turkey, sitting in the back there. Isn't that good to have him here from Turkey? Raj, we love you. Thank you for your faith and your work. The second person was Pete Wastera, because, you know, at 11 o'clock service, we have a children's program, nursery, the volunteers, the workers that really teach and care about these preteens, and Pastor Pete is the guy that, you know, you get the phone call, and he's got his team, and Gina is just down here, the youth work. Wow, it's great. Krista, I almost said Wilczek, Krista Reagan. And then I wanted to also give a shout out to the band, to Julius Thompson. You know, Julius has such a beautiful, spirit, you know, just a humble, loving guy, you know, that just cares about people and working with the music people. Do you think it's easy to work with music people? Yes! Yes! It's very easy. They're awesome. So, welcome, Pastor Matt.
Morning, church. How's everyone doing? Great. It's great to be here. If you could turn with me to Proverbs 14, verse 3 for a quick thought, very quick thought. Proverbs 14, verse 3, let's pray. God, we just, we invite your presence, Lord, here into this place. We thank you for being mindful of us and looking after us and giving us mercy this morning, giving us grace to wake up and to be here. Bless these words to our hearts. Give us something to think about. Prepare our hearts for the message to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 14:3, it reads, and I'm reading the King James, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." And I'm teaching Old Testament historical books this year in the Bible College. First half, we're trying to get through 2 Samuel. I'm not sure if we're going to get the whole way there or not, but right now we're towards the end of 1 Samuel, and we're getting ready to cover the story of David's men going to visit Nabal and Abigail. And that story is in 1 Samuel 25. If you want to follow along, I'm just going to make a few brief points from that and talk about this proverb. One of these people has the mouth of the foolish and is filled with a rod of pride, and the other person she has the lips of the wise, and it preserves actually their whole household. So it's a beautiful story. So in 1 Samuel 25, it gives us a little bit of an introduction of who Nabal is. His name in the Hebrew, his actual name means fool. Nabal is a fool right from the get-go. His mom named him so right out of the womb. So in verse 2 it says, "There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb." I'm not sure how much you know about this story. I'm not sure if you've read it before. But David's servants go to Nabal because they find out that he's been shearing his sheep and he's getting ready to have a feast and he has plenty to go around. And David and his men, they were watching over Nabal's belongings. They were watching over his herdsmen. They were watching over his sheep. And they asked, like humbly coming to him, could you spare us something of what you have? Could you give us something from your fold so that we could partake as well? Because we've watched over your flock, your sheep, and we've been faithful to do that. We haven't harmed them. We've done nothing to them. And Nabal, with a rod of pride, with foolishness in his heart, he answers, and it's in verse 10 and 11 of 1 Samuel 25. He answered David's servants and he says, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not where they come from or why they're there?" And then later on in the story, a servant tells Abigail what her husband Nabal the fool has done. And the servant tells her, and Abigail immediately knows that what her husband did was foolish because she realizes who David is. She realizes back in 1 Samuel 16, Samuel anointed him to be king one day. He would soon be watching over the entire nation of Israel, and her husband's giving him the shaft right then and there. And she goes and prepares an offering and takes it to him because David and his men, they didn't appreciate Nabal's answer so much. And they were coming to take care of his household completely and wipe them all out, even to the last sheep that they wanted as like a little bit of a tribute to hold them over. If you think about the two attitudes, so Abigail in her wisdom realizes who David is, what authority he brings, who his servants are, and what message they have. And then you have Nabal who just is so consumed with everything that he has, everything that's his. It says he was a man of great possession. It was all about himself, what he has earned. He was of the line of Caleb. If you remember in Numbers, Caleb is said to have a different spirit because he wholly followed the Lord. But Nabal, being his descendant, he took this pride maybe of being of Caleb's line and saying, "I'm going to make a great name for myself. I'm going to provide for myself. This is about what I can do. I don't know who David is. I don't know who his servants are. They have nothing to do with what I've accomplished." But Abigail in wisdom goes and is obedient unto the word that is given to them from David and his servants and goes out and appeases that strife and gives them what is like rightfully theirs in a sense. So what's the point? What's the point of this story? The foolish man and the wise woman. In Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12, it says to teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. So when we take that into consideration and we think about that, what is our life right now, today? Like, what is our life in this moment, in this time period, in this pandemic, and everything that's going on? James chapter 4, life is but a vapor. It's very quick. We number our days. We think about the fact that we are here today and maybe gone tomorrow. We have no idea, right? But while we're here, we have this beautiful option to respond to God in our days. We have this beautiful option to apply our hearts unto wisdom, unto what God's message is. So if you look at the story and you kind of flip it around a little bit and you say, Okay, Abigail represents the church, Nabal represents the world, and David's messengers coming in, this is like the word of God coming into people. Okay, and the world responds one way in foolishness and pride. They have this rod of pride that keeps them from receiving it, that keeps them from taking it in and understanding what wisdom really is. And then you have the church who says, no, this is from God. David was anointed of Samuel. He's going to be king over us. This is the authority of the word of God in our life. And one of them like numbers their days. One of them applies their heart unto wisdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, what do you have that you have not received already? What is it that you have in your life that you have not received? So because we have received so much, Abigail realizes that she has this attitude. She represents like the body of Christ. We're saved by grace alone. It is a complete gift. There is nothing we could have done to earn it. We've received this, so we're going to give honor unto God in for this reason and this reason alone. Not because we feel obligated to it, not because we have a duty to do so. And then you have the world responding and saying, It's not about God. God, I'm here because of whatever reason, right? They can't even answer like the world itself, the attitude. You can't even answer why you're here today if you're not a believer in Christ. Like, God is the only reason that we're here in this moment right now. He's the only reason why we haven't passed on into eternity right now. He's the only reason why we haven't come face to face with Him and sat at a judgment seat and been told, well done, my faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. He's the only reason. And like when we recognize this in our life and the word of God comes into our life and we're sitting in a church and we're hearing it and we're thinking about it, it's like we have this beautiful option to receive it. We have this beautiful grace given to us by God to accept His word, to allow it to indwell our hearts, to allow it to become part of our life each and every day. And I just ask that as a church, and this is a challenge in my own life, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. We would number our days. We would realize that like every single day that we wake up is a pure gift from God. And that we can choose to receive something from Him that day. We can apply our hearts unto wisdom that day. And the Bible's chock full of that, those stories. It's chock full of those illustrations. And if we open this and we read it and we take something in, even if it's just a verse, and we apply that to our lives, we are so much better for it. And it like ministers to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
That message that Pastor Matt just shared, I can't let it go by without saying a few things about it. Not to improve on it was awesome, but just to get it in our hearts and minds was some of the things that he said. And it relates to what I want to share today about iron sharpening iron. About kind of staying sharp. He mentioned, what was it? We could not number our days, kind of get careless or, you know, lose. But Abigail, who he said refers to the church, is that correct? Yeah, Abigail refers to the church. So we can take this for a few minutes and just kind of think. Abigail refers to the church by typology. And what does Nabal represent? The world, okay. And he was churlish. Churlish. Like, ask your neighbor, what does that mean? I think that's how you're behaving right now. What is churlish? Nabal was churlish. Pastor Steve, rude, insensitive, rude, you know, past feeling, it says in Ephesians 4, that we can get hard-hearted. Is the world hard-hearted regarding God? Yes, they are insensitive. They are of another spirit. and another mind. Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisy in the world because I may say something and do something else because it's not in my heart, or what is in my heart is evil. So we have a blessing because Abigail, though she is married to him, that's like a Christian in the world, but the Christian knows that he's wrong. That was Abigail. My husband is not right. My husband is wrong, you know. That's what she said to David. My husband is wrong. And we must discern while we live in this world, and we are here part of it. I mean, we are in it. I always think of the difference between a boat being in a lake and a fish being in a lake. What's the difference? A fish in the lake is like this, right? And the water goes through its gills, and it's part of the whole environment. A boat is in the lake floating. It's in it, but it is not of it. It's different. We are in the world, but not of it. We have another spirit. We don't have the water go through our gills. You know, we are not of the world. We are outside, but we are in. But we are out. We are not of it. We are of God. Hallelujah. We are of God. We are of God, so we're different. So David comes to kill Nabal, but Abigail goes out. She's the church, and she comes out and says, don't kill him. Don't kill him. It's almost like the tares of Matthew 13 when the right seed was planted and the devil came at night and planted the tares. And they grew up, and the angel said, should I go down and pull out the tares? And God says, no, let them grow. Let the world be. Let it be. It's my plan. I am sovereign. I am God. I want let it be. The blind will lead the blind, and they both will fall in the ditch. But you are not of it. You are different. And David received Abigail's message the way we receive the message from the church. The church gives us the message to keep us sharp, to keep us alert, to keep us engaged in the right spirit, drinking the spirit. So that's what we want to say today. It relates to the portion that I wanted to share with you. It's from Hebrews 2. And so turn there with me, please. Hebrews chapter 2. Good to see Pastor Ken and Mary Jo here this morning. Pastor Barry. Different ones. Wow. It's amazing. So, by the way, our offerings are down for several weeks now, about $10,000 every week. We're behind. So, it's very easy to get weary in giving and also lose my edge. Yeah, I need Abigail to come out to meet David. David was of a different mind. Isn't it interesting? Nabal said, who is David? Who is he that I would respect him? Where did he come from? Many men break away from their masters. He's referring to David leaving Saul. David left Saul. Many men leave their masters. Who is he? I have no respect for him. And that is how the world talks about the Messiah. Who is Jesus? You know, I don't know Jesus. There's many weird things that go on today. There's many ideas, you know. I don't know him. I don't know him. But the miracle of grace that's happened to us is that God saved us. I just heard Jim Cromwell went to home to be with the Lord. Was it yesterday or was it? Yesterday, yeah. So, you just think, Pastor mentioned it, Pastor Matt mentioned, how many days do we have on the earth? How many days? How much time do we have? What's our mission, you know? What spirit are we of? Who are we listening to? Could the church Abigail come out and correct me? Could I be corrected? This is what happened to David. He was corrected. He would have been foolish if he had gone and killed Nabal, because Nabal is in the hand of God, and it's his plan. And in a similar way with us, we are in this fellowship and this communion, and iron sharpens iron. And I am corrected many ways, many times by soft, subtle impressions by the Spirit, the dove, the Spirit of God, who is like a dove. It's interesting. Jesus is a lion, and on the throne, he is a lamb. He is a lamb, and he is also a dove. The Holy Spirit is the dove. So Abigail is a wise, gentle woman who has a message for David, and David hears it and receives it. So let's go to Hebrews 2 and verse 1. We'll read a few verses here. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Now, the context is that the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem have accepted the Messiah, Jesus. But under the pressure of the persecution, where the country officially does not recognize Jesus Christ, they are now under a tremendous amount of persecution and pressure to return, to go back to, my old life, or return to my religion, the religion of my fathers. That's important in many parts of the world, the religion of my fathers. One of our Central Asian converts said, I'm so happy that my son will be able to grow up and they will say, why are you a Christian? And he will be able to say, my father was a Christian. But I can't say that. My father was a Muslim. And they will ask me, why are you a Christian? And you cannot say that. This kind of pressure and persecution that comes on many parts of the world, in many parts of the world, is part of our need for iron to sharpen iron. Our need for our visits abroad, the need for our classes online, the need for books, the need to listen, the need to fear God, the need to hear what Abigail has to say. Because David is about to make a mistake, but the church comes and corrects him. Okay, so verse 1, we ought to give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Have you ever heard a message on sovereignty? It's my new reading, my interest in the sovereignty of God. Psalm 115, verse 3, God is in heaven, and he has done whatever he has pleased. I want to learn about sovereignty and refresh myself in it. Why is somebody dies young and somebody lives old? Why is a vegetable a pumpkin and not a squash? Why is an angel an archangel and an insect an insect? Why is a child have a disability? Another has a great gift. Why is the continents of the world shaped this way? Why is there water on this planet? Why are we so far from the sun? Why does the moon orbit the earth? Why is the earth this weight and not lighter? Why is there a stratosphere? Why is there air and oxygen? Why is there food on the earth? The sovereignty of God. Why did he call Abraham? Why did he bless Isaac and not Ishmael? Actually, Abraham blessed Ishmael, but the blessed seed was Isaac. And today, 4,000 years later, why are there Jews? And why are the Jews so gifted and so motivated and so educated and so talented and so blessed? Why? And another people is not. Why? Because he is sovereign. Let's respect him and worship him. If you and I are alive today, we just worship God. God is beyond our reason. He is beyond our ability to figure it out. One engineer in Hungary told me, he said, God has a big chessboard. And the chessboard, John Sabo would know, Pastor John knows. Is there 64 squares? 64 squares. And how many different pieces? How many different pieces and moves that they have? And how does the game played? And you step back, look at the whole thing, and just think of God has a big chessboard. And you don't know what it is. He has billions and billions of people and probably billions of spirits of angels and demons and free will and his sovereign plan and what he's doing. Who knows? Oh, he is sovereign. Never leave the doctrines that you learn in your Bible as a very foundation. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Men that are drawn from the breast. Precept upon precept. That's a precept. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. It's how we learn. It's beautiful. Wow. It says here in this verse, it says, we should be careful to listen to what we have heard. Years ago in Bible school, what I have heard years ago, what we have heard in the past week, what we have heard, don't let them go. Be a hearer, listening carefully, with humility, like David in that story. Abigail calms him down and is speaking to him very gently, firmly, wisely, and it changes his life. His life is changed. I wonder how many times that's happened to me, where I heard and it went into my heart. And I want to take heed to this. Not let it go. Not just let it slip. Look at verse 1. It says, give earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That word slip in the Greek by Kenneth Weiss says that it's like snow slipping off of the shoulder of a soldier, and the snow just slips off, like a ring slipping off your finger and finding it in the sink, you know. something slipping away. Where'd my ring go? It happened when I was first married. I actually borrowed a wedding ring when I got married. And then the person just said, oh, you can have it. But it was big. Because we didn't have any money, so but I borrowed a wedding ring. Isn't that funny? So they gave it to me, but it was big on my finger. It slipped off after some months somewhere in Finland. And my wife said, where is your ring? And I said, oh, I got the marriage is over. I don't know where. Oh, it's gone. I didn't know. I don't know what slips away from me because it slips away. It's not forcefully ripped away from me. It just kind of leaves. And I realize weeks later, where am I at? What happened to me? Where did my conviction go? What happened? Where did I once had a very, very sharp and firm conviction about this, but somehow, what happened? It slipped away from me. It's gone. I think in older age, sometimes we do slip. Don't we? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you slipping? Are you slipping? Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe my memory is not as sharp. Maybe I don't remember the same words and names, but I have to. I have to. I have to believe that God will bring it back to my mind. John 14:26. There are things in our minds, maybe intellectually, maybe somebody can lose their edge, but spiritually, be very wise, very humble, and very alert. Listen to this part. I'm very alert to the fact that I can be wrong. I like that. I'm very alert to the fact that I need around me counselors and wisdom and love. I'm very alert to the fact that we are in a time when the church should be, we must be awake. Awake thou that sleepest, in Ephesians 5. Christ will give you light. That's what he said. So the doctrine of sovereignty, I'm rehearsing that and I'm like thinking about it. I want re-meditate on it and get that in my heart, because you never know what will happen every day, what will happen on a certain day. You never know. Sometimes we're shocked. How could that happen? I didn't know that. Well, you should be living, realizing. How does it say in the proverb? It says in 28:1, is it? It says, do not give so much thought for tomorrow that you do not know what a day will bring forth. That sounds like what Jesus said. And it's one of those Proverbs 27:1, 28:1, or 29:1. Each of those proverbs is excellent. So, go back to the text. Chapter 2, verse 1. Lest at any time we should let them slip, we give heed to the things which we have heard 2 weeks ago, 1 month ago. Wait, we had a message here about the treasure in the earthen vessel. That was a very good message, chapter 4, verse 7. The treasure, 8 and 9, the treasure in the earthen vessel. We all have an earthen vessel, but we're occupied with the treasure that is in that vessel. One man, one woman has that gift. Remember little Samuel? You had no idea that that little boy had a calling. Yeah, no idea. You could walk by that little guy, he's 4 years old, and you have no idea, but that's the guy. That's the guy. What does it mean? It's that we need to realize God is doing a great thing in the United States of America. We have to realize there could be a spiritual revival in our country. We could realize that many Christians are waking up and saying, what are we doing? What should we do? How do we relate to what is happening? Let us awake out of our spiritual sleep. Psalm 113 is a 13. It says, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David could say, thank you, Abigail. Thank you, Abigail. I'll take all this and I'll go back home and wait it out and see what God will do. 10 days later, Nabal is dead. He had a stroke, I guess, because it says his heart became like stone. And he went unconscious. And he died 10 days later. It's amazing what's happening in the world and how they're fighting to be alive. They have so much to lose. They're going to lose their lives, their power. They're going to lose their money, their position. They're going to lose so much. Nabal, you are a fool. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose everything. Jesus Christ came into the world to say, lose your life and you will find it. Lose your life, give your life to me. I will redeem your soul. I will fill you with the Spirit. I will anoint you with fresh oil. You will be like my man David, like the Messiah, that man with the message, that person with the message of salvation. For the world is passing away, but he that does the work or the will of God endures, lives forever. 1 John chapter 2. We should not let these things slip by us, like slip off our finger, or just kind of, I don't remember that anymore. Yes, I once read the Bible, but I don't do it anymore. Yes, I once was really a part of things, but I don't know, I've drifted off. Yes, and I know it's the pandemic time, I know this, but, you know, I love the, and to the elderly people that are vulnerable and have underlying conditions, of course, stay home. And so on, you know that. And that's what we think. But if you're home, listen. Be sharp. Care. Draw near in your heart. Let us sometimes in our homes get on our knees. Let us sometimes in our homes open up the book. And let us sometimes in our homes pick up the phone. I make an edifying phone call. Let us sometimes reach our neighbor with a good message. Not the bad news, the good news. With the joy and the freedom and the peace and the love. Wow. That's beautiful. Okay, let's finish up. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, he's speaking about the law of Moses that's spoken to Moses by angels. The Ten Commandments was given by angels. But our message has not been given by angels. It's been Hebrews 1:2. 1:1, God who at sundry times in diverse manners has spoken unto us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This is our privilege. He has spoken to us by his Son. It leads us from reason to faith. We have reason, but we have more than reason. We have a reasonable faith. We have reason, but we have more. We have mystery. We have more than just trying to figure out things. We have God. We have the mystery of godliness. We have the fellowship that is in the Son of God. For if the word spoken by angels, verse 2, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, that means a man was stoned for picking up sticks. That means the earth opened up when there was a rebellion against Moses. That means that when they sinned in the Old Testament, there was a judgment. And he said then, how will we escape, verse 3? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Meaning, if God gave Christ so we could get grace and mercy, if we neglect that message, if we neglect the gospel, if we neglect the preaching of that great message, the reality of that person, if we neglect it, how will we escape? There's nothing but judgment that I must face. Wow. Sometimes I'm shocked by the reality of this life, the hell that's real, the shocking reality of being lost, the pride of man, the free will of man. That being said, I really believe that there will be billions and billions of people in heaven. I really believe that. They say that maybe between 50 to 100 billion people have lived on the earth through history. How many out of 50 billion people are saved? If it was only 10%, it would be, what's that, 5 billion? But I believe there'll be billions, number beyond the numbers that man can number. Billions of people, and yet the fact that there'd be one lost and go to hell is a tragedy. But there will not just be one. Undoubtedly billions and billions of people that become like demons. They pass into eternity, but they will have bodies. And they will have a body and soul in hell. A body and soul in hell. And what a tragic, horrible thought that is. But that is reality. That is what the Bible is teaching. That is why God sent Christ. That is why the Jewish scriptures and everything about the Bible written in one volume is making it clear to us. And so therefore, let us be awake. Pastor Matt said, number our days. I'm saying, pay attention to Abigail. She has a message for me. And then we're also saying, be awake to our mission. Be awake to our faith. Be awake. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and yet so few people were saved in the flood. And the tragic loss of a third of the angels. Just think of a third. 1, 2, 3, out. 1, 2, 3, out. How many angels fell? How many people drowned in the time of Noah? How many people were lost in Sodom and Gomorrah? How shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation, this great miracle of Jesus Christ coming into the world and being raised from the dead, this great miracle of God taking our sin away, this great miracle of sending the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we would walk in truth and be sharp and not forget, but take heed to the things that have been spoken to us that have led us in a certain way of thinking and living and how much we have gained. There are Russians that we know by name. There are Chinese and Thai people that we know by name. There are Indians, hundreds and maybe thousands of them that we know. How much has happened in Africa through the decades by the grace of God and its reality. And when you look in the face of somebody from a totally different culture, totally different language, totally different age group, everything about them, and they look at you like with the same face as Abigail with a message, or as the same face as David with a message, or Paul, or Stephen, or Timothy or Lydia or any of these that we read in the book of Acts. And we say, how did that happen? They said, Jesus came into my heart. Jesus saved me. That's a great salvation. And how shall we escape what is coming if we neglect that salvation? Don't let the profoundness of it slip off your finger. Don't let the profoundness of what we have believed, the preciousness of it. And may God put it in our mouth. And pray for me that it would be in my mouth, that I would be able to share it and speak it pray for each other and for all of our missionaries around the world. And yes, that it would even happen more and more and more, and we would go into the world by God doing that and sending people. Let's pray for our grandkids, like some of us are at that age. Our grandkids would become pastors and missionaries. Let's pray for our GGCA people. Let's be sharp. Let's hear and care. Okay? So I think that's it. Did we finish verse 3? But how shall we escape if we neglect so great, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? That's the disciples and the apostles and the book of Acts. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you for our mission. What Pastor Matt shared with us for this story and what it means for us to be just alive completely and spiritually minded. Yes, Lord. We're not living, we're in an age of criticism. But we have not the spirit of that. We have the spirit of Abigail and the spirit of David. David was corrected by this woman. He was corrected by this spirit-filled and wise woman. He was corrected. We are in an age of sensuality, but we are corrected. We are corrected. It's an age of indifference and selfishness, actually, where we are corrected. We are corrected. We are learning. We are growing. Thank you, Lord, for your mind this morning and your care for your people. That we care. We are here because you are here. That's all. We wouldn't be here, but you are here. You are here in the assembly. Forsake not the assembly. And you are here. Thank you for who you are. We love you and praise you. Jesus, bless our weeks to come, the holidays coming, and the care that we have for the work of the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone here would like to get a prayer? Maybe the pastors come down front during the song. And then, I don't know, is there a song? Yeah, is there? Okay. If you want a prayer for healing, or you want a prayer for, I would imagine healing. Wow. Word of advice or counsel, Father. Thank you. And anybody here not a believer, come to Jesus as you are. You must come. Repent from your own life, your own way. Just leave it at the cross. Just forsake it. It's not a friend. Get rid of it at the cross. Come to Jesus. Confess your sin and leave your self life there. Walk by faith. God will teach you little by little and lead you in a new life. Yes, Lord. Jesus' name. Anyone, raise your hand. Anyone in the auditorium saying that prayer? Yes, to Jesus, anybody? Okay, would you stand, please?